As always, I thank God for another opportunity to be able to stand. You know, and I think, well, first off, I want to say it's been a real blessing to be here today, be back home. As most all of you know, it's been a little while since I've been able to attend here. I've been working out of town, and it was just a blessing to be able to come in here this morning and see all your faces. God has really blessed me. I have so many friends, so many people that love me, so many people that pray for me. But you know, most of all, I thank you all for praying for me when I was lost. You know, it's God's people have the power. If we humble ourselves and talk to Him with an earnest heart. Brother Strode, the song you sang, I think that needs to be everybody's prayer upon everybody's heart every moment. For God to use us. You know, there's so many things that we see every day. I'd been working 7 days a week, but I did get last Sunday off. I went to a little Baptist church right up the road from the motel. It done my heart good when they invited people to come up and to pray and seek after the Lord. It done my heart good when I heard him tell the congregation that they needed to be on their knees and they needed to be praying for those people that were in there and lost. That done my heart good. I had to go and get some materials for the job. I had to go on Tuesday, I think it was. And I went in there, and I was in the supply house, and I was talking to the counter person there, which so happens to be a minister. And I've attended the church where he's pastored. But anyway, he told me about they was having a meeting at a church there in the town where I was staying. He said he didn't really know nothing about it. He said he heard that they was having some good singing groups, and they was having a little meeting going on. Well, I decided that I'd get ready after I got off work, and I went over there. When I got in there, it was a great big building, and there's a balcony up there, and that place was full. The singing was beautiful, and it touched my heart. Right at the end of the service, after the preacher got done, it was a visiting preacher that was there. But he turned the service over to the pastor, and the pastor got up. He was up there, and he was telling how that, you know, you don't have to be in this altar to get saved, which is a very true statement. You don't have to be in a church. Anywhere that you can bow down and be able to shut that door and get into your closet, the Lord can save your soul. Amen. But you see, this man, I thought that he was dismissing. He said, we'll have a word of prayer. And that's when it all went wrong. And it breaks my heart. There's been a scripture on my heart ever since then. But there's something that I got to do first. And I think you'll understand that in just a moment. When I was just a little boy, I can remember going to school. And when we go to school just before Christmas time, you know, we have the vacation for Christmas. Well, they would bring each class downstairs, and they had a piano downstairs. And we would practice singing songs. He lives in the garden. And that's one song today that still touches my heart, but for a whole different reason. But I can remember going down there, and then the last day of school before the Christmas vacation would start, we'd all walk down, and we'd walk two or three blocks down to this little church. And we'd go in, and every class would take turns, and we'd get up, and we'd sing the songs. You know, that was the first time. I was probably about third, fourth grade. But that's the first time I can really remember singing anything about the Lord. I don't remember my parents ever going to church except maybe to go to a wedding or a funeral. When I was about 24, 25 years old, my first wife and I, we attended. She went to a Christian church. And on the fifth Sunday, they would have a singing. There would be churches there in the area, all the different churches. I think there was 5, 6, 7, something like that. A couple little towns just off. And they would all come together, and they'd have a meal, and they would have singing services. Well, during one of those services, I was sitting back there, and I was listening, and they took a break, and they all went downstairs. And those singers were up, and they was playing on the piano, and they'd start singing a little bit, and they was singing around. Well, there were so many people went downstairs, I was sitting back in the back, about like what Brother Junior is right now. I was sitting on the pew there by myself, and I was listening to them. Next thing I knew, the pastor come up, and he sat down right beside me. He looked at me, and they had just finished singing a song, and he looked at me and asked me if I wanted to be baptized. You know, not knowing anything different, not knowing anything any better, you know, I felt good. The songs was making me feel good. I said yes. There was a little boy that was walking down the hall, and he grabbed him. He told him to go downstairs and tell everybody to come up, and he brought me up, and he set me down on the front bench. After everybody got upstairs, he motioned for me to come up, and when I stood up, he raised his hand, and he asked if I would believe Jesus was the Son of God. I said, yes, I do. But the reason I said that is because I had heard people say it. I didn't know that in my heart. Immediately, he takes me back through a door and takes me in a little room and tells me to put on this little gown, that find one there that fit, that was hanging on this rack. I put on that gown and I come out, and he was standing there in the hall waiting on me. He took me out and he broke down. He raised his hand and said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Put me under the water, raised me back up. And people, I'm going to tell you right now, that very moment, I was deceived. I was deceived because, you know, there wasn't nothing there other than saying that I believed. Yes, you do have to believe in Jesus. But you have to believe in what He did. And you have to believe from the heart. But to be saved, to be truly saved, God Himself has to tell you. I can remember later on in life, LaVon and I met. I thought I was okay. She'd go to church once in a while. But you know, a little bit later on, she started going more often and more often. Just like a lot of people, she'd kind of backed away. But yet, she started going more often and more often. I had to go away. I had to travel at work, and you all know that. I was working out in Oklahoma, and I hurt my back. They had to fly me home, and I had to have surgery. They put me in bed. When I went home, they put me in bed, and I had to stay in bed for a certain amount of time. Well, when I was a young boy, I had an uncle that drove a truck. And he stopped by to visit one day, and he gave me a Bible. Well, that Bible was sitting there on the nightstand. And like many other times before, I'd pick that Bible up and I'd start reading in the book of Genesis, and I'd get down through there and I'd get to chapter 5 where it'd say that begat and begat and begat, and the next thing I knew I'd close the Bible and I'd lay it down. I'm going to tell you, people, the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis is a very important chapter. Because it tells you the lineage. It tells you just exactly how each and every one of us come down from Adam. It's a very important book, but you see, I couldn't understand that. There was no way I could understand it. But you see, when I was laying there and I was hurt, I picked up that Bible and I started reading in the book of Exodus. And I could see how that the children of Israel, how that God had blessed them by letting them come out of Egypt. But yet they'd turn away from Him. You see, the Lord was already working on me. Then, doctor cleared me to where I could drive. I was ready to get out of the house. I was ready to go anywhere. LaVon asked me if I would bring her to church. I was more than happy to. Well, I come and I brought her to church and I got to hearing people stand up and telling how the Lord had saved her soul. They didn't say nothing about being baptized. They said the Lord saved her soul. You know, these things just kept building one on top of another, on top of another. And they started causing trouble within me. I can remember one of the sermons that was preached, how that the Lord Himself would let you know. I can remember one Sunday morning, Brother Duff, Kevin Duff, he come up in here and he told about being saved. Brother Moran said, they said at his baptism, and it was going to be 2 weeks later. You know, that threw me for a loop. I had no idea. I was totally confused. On the way home, I asked LaVon, I said, what's going to happen to that boy if he dies between now and then? You see, I'd been deceived. I was led to believe that you had to be baptized to be saved. That's not so. That's not so. When the Lord saves your soul, that's when you're saved. And the Lord Himself is the only one that can do it. You know, we got home that day, and I can remember LaVon. I was sitting there in a chair in a recliner, and I can remember LaVon. She was back there, she was changing her clothes, and she come up here and she asked me, I got to ask you a question. Where would you go if you died today? I told her not to bother me. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't know it then, but the first thing she does, she got on the phone and started calling people to pray. People, the power that you have, if you're a child of God, you have power with God to pray to Him, to help those that are lost, to help those that stand and preach, to help those that stand up and to sing. You have the power to do that. You know, this is really weighing on my heart. I can remember coming to church one Sunday morning. Brother Moran gets up. He says, I feel in my heart that we need to have, whether it be a 3-day, 4-day, 5-day, week, 2-week, whatever. Whatever the Lord leads. But I feel the Lord leading to have a revival. And I want to ask the members of the church how they feel. And they took a vote. And you know, my hand went right straight up in there. You see, I'd been hearing what the preachers had to say. But little then, that's what I thought. It was a preacher saying it. But now I know it was God talking through him to me. And I wanted to hear more of what he had to say. And I voted. And I know it didn't count. But I wanted to hear what was being said. I wanted to hear more. You know, that day, and I can't tell you what Brother Moran preached about that morning, but I was in so much trouble. I got down there and I was holding on to that bench because they had an altar call. And I was holding on to that bench and I didn't want to let go. That song was just about over. And I thought, well, I got through this one. But you know, the next thing I knew, Sister Pillow, who was sitting in the back, the Lord moved upon her and she come up and laid her hand on my shoulder. The next thing I knew, I was right up here and I was kneeled down and I was bawling like a baby. See, before that, I had too much pride. I had too much pride. I was afraid that someone would see me. Someone would see that old man, that 43-year-old man up here bowed down, crying like a baby. But you know what? I was in so much trouble that I did not care. I didn't care who seen me. I didn't care what people thought. Because I knew I needed something that I didn't have. I needed something that so many other people in this place had that I didn't, that they could stand up and tell about it. And you could tell it was real. You could tell it. You could feel it. You know, I was bowed down there and I was praying. The service was dismissed and I didn't even know it. I was in so much trouble. There was people that left. I know that there was people in here and I know they were singing. I know that there was the people up here praying for me. But I didn't know nothing about it because I was in trouble. You know, we need to get to a place where we can pray these lost sinners and these lost souls, that we can pray for them, that they would get in just as much trouble. You know, we're lacking that today. We're lacking it. You know, we can remember, and I'm sure a lot of you here can remember, your parents praying for you. Pray for your children and your grandchildren. Pray for them. You know, I can remember seeing those people there and what that preacher did to them. And it breaks my heart. Do we have tears for those people that come up and they pray? Do we have tears because we know that they're going to hell because of the condition they're in? Do our hearts ache for them? We need to get in a place to where we get in that shape. That we get to hurting just as much as we did when we were lost. Because we know that that's the shape that they're in. If we can't get in that place, we need to be on our knees begging God to show us how to get there. Salvation of a person's soul is the most important thing that can ever happen to them in their lifetime. And if it doesn't happen to them in the life that they have here on earth, it will never happen. They're going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell. And to think, Brother Strode sang that song earlier, Lord, use me. If the Lord's putting something on your heart to do and you fail to do it, there's a possibility. There's a possibility that there's a lost soul that you were supposed to do, talk to. There's a possibility that something that you might have said that would have brought them to a place where, like it did me, you get in so much trouble because you start thinking about it. You start thinking about the Lord. And when you start thinking about Him, He'll start bringing it more upon them. I don't want to stand in the way of the Lord. I didn't know, like Brother Miller said this morning, I didn't know which way this was going to go tonight. I had no idea I was going to say all this. But you know what? That's okay. That's okay because I feel the Lord with me, brother. I was up there and I was praying. The next thing, next time I had any account of time, we'd gotten home and it was about 2:30 in the afternoon. I think Damon and Kim was over at the house. Kim had went over there because Levon had had something in the oven. I don't know what it was, but anyway. And Kim had taken it out. She's wondering where it was. Well, just so happened, Tammy and Jeffrey, who was just a little boy, was with us, and they'd rode with us that day. And we come in, and Kim asked where we was. I can remember Jeffrey say, "Well, Papa's been talking to the Lord for hours. You think he would have answered him by now?" You know what? That is. It is. Chuckle. But you know what? There's so much truth to that. Had I got where I needed to be, the Lord would have answered me. That's just the way with each and every one of us right now. If we can get the way we need to be, the Lord will answer us and He will answer our prayers. Bible tells me the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we're able to get to a point, when we're able to get down and just throw everything in this whole world away and our focus be upon God, that's when He will see what the desires of our hearts. That's when He will know. I got home that afternoon. Tammy, Kim, Damon, LaVon, every one of them was telling me how proud they were of me for seeking after the Lord and how I needed to continue. But you know what? Everything that they would tell me was going in here and right out here because I was still seeking after the Lord. I was still praying. We got back to church that night. And by the way, Brother Buddy, 11 years ago tonight, you were right here and you were preaching. January 10th of 1999, 11 years ago tonight, the Lord saved my soul right there on that bench. It's a night and a place that I will never forget. When I went up here, I couldn't wait. And no offense, Brother Buddy, but I couldn't wait for him to shut up. You see, I wasn't told that anytime you felt the pulling of the Lord, you needed to go and pray. And I want to say, if there's someone here tonight that's lost and you feel like you need to pray, pray wherever you need to pray. You can come up here at this old altar and you can pray where you're at. But pray just as soon as you feel that tug on your heart. You see, that's when the Lord wants you to come to Him. And you need to come just as soon as He calls. You know, as I was bowed down, and it was right about this spot right here, the pulpit used to sit right here. And I was there on the end of the bench. And I was praying. And I can remember. It was just like the Lord put His hand under my arms and just picked me up off that altar. You see, there was no doubt in my mind because I knew that it was the Lord that let me know. And if you don't have an experience where the Lord Himself has let you know, keep seeking after Him. Don't trust in any man. I don't care who it is. Don't trust in any man to tell you you're all right. And I'm sure there are several preachers here tonight. And I'm sure each and every one of them here will tell you the very same thing. I can't see in your heart. I don't know if you've repented to God to satisfy Him. Which you've got to go to Him in repentance. The Bible plainly states it. The Bible, which is God's Word, which God had given those men to pen down. It was God that told that. You must come to Him and repent of your sins. And that is the only way, in believing in faith that Jesus Christ is His Son, that He came into this world and that He died upon that cross for you, knowing that you are a sinner. And I'm sure that each and every one of these preachers here tonight will agree with that. But you've got to go to Him. You know, I had some other scriptures I thought I was going to read, but I don't even know that I'm going to get there. There has been one scripture that's been on my heart, and I'm going to read it, if I can see. The book of Philippians, chapter 2, and the 12th verse. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You know, that night, before I ever actually started bowing down and seeking after Him, that fear had set up within me. Fear that I was going to go to a devil's hell. You see, I got to the point to where when I was there and I was in that bedroom and I was reading and I was flipping around one day and I got in the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 5. It tells how that you must enter into your closet and shut the door. I literally would go into the bedroom and shut the door. I would literally go into the bathroom and I would hide and shut the door and I'd pray to the Lord. But you see, that's not what it meant. It doesn't mean to go into a physical room. It just means that you've got to be able to shut out everything in this whole world. You've got to be able to put everything aside. And your focus has to be totally upon God and what He has done for you, His love for you. And I want you to think about that. The love that He had, sending His only Son into this world that He would give His very life for you. And you know what? That's not something that only those lost souls need to think about. That's something that each and every one of us need to think about every day. God sent His Son that He died for me. He died for each and every one of you. And He willingly did it. We need to be willing to do what He gives us to do. Lord, use me. You know, there's people out there, we need to fear God. We really do. We need to be fearful for those people that are lost, because they're going to hell if they don't get saved. We need to be fearful for them. We need to pray for them. No, we can't pray the prayer that'll save their soul. There's no way. You see, that has to come from them, and they have to go to God themselves. They have to be the one to repent to Him. That's what I had to do, and I'm sure that's what you had to do, Brother Strode. You had to go to God yourself, and you had to pray to Him. But you know what? We can pray to God that God would put so much trouble, so much burden upon them that there was nothing they could do but to cry out to Him. So much trouble within their heart that they couldn't stand it. You know, I hear stories. I wasn't blessed enough to be able to be in this time frame, but I hear stories of people going, they'd be going down the road and they'd hear so-and-so over here in a barn praying for their children or praying for the little neighbor boy across the street. There may be some of you here tonight that can remember those times. You know, we need to get back to where that can happen again. And it can happen again. If we would get ourselves in a place to where we could pray. I get in a place, I ain't gonna lie to nobody. I get in a place where I get cold. But you know what? When we get to a place where we think we can't pray, that's the very time we need to get on our knees and get by ourselves and talk to Him to help us. And He'll guide us. He'll show us what to do. He'll show us what we need to be doing. You know, that stirred me up so much when I seen that happen there last Wednesday night. Because you see, that is very similar to the same thing that happened to me. Deception is deception. And it's going on everywhere. Amen. We know. Those of us that have been saved, we know what needs to be done. Because we've experienced it. And that experience is what we got to be out, and we've got to be telling people about so they can have it. And just like when you tell it, those people will be just like I was. They'll say, well, he's got something that I don't. That experience that he had, I don't have that. And then they'll start searching. They'll start searching. And the Lord will put that trouble in there. And He'll break them down like little children, just like He did me, just like He did many of you. And that's when we'll start seeing and hearing about souls being saved. That's when this whole country will start turning around. You know, this country is getting in a terrible place. Very terrible place. And we need to be on our knees. And we need to be praying for our leaders. But most of all, we need to be praying for those that are lost. I feel the Lord's done with me. I just, like I said, I had some other scriptures here I thought I'd read and go through, but I just don't feel the necessity tonight. But I do want to leave you with this. There are so many people out there in this world. God Himself in His Word tells us how that there's going to be so many of them out there making merchandise of people. And that's all they're doing, is making merchandise of them. We need to be able to reach those people that have been deceived. We need to be able to reach those people that we see every day. The Lord's blessed me. When I was down there in Georgia, there was a boy that I've worked with for so long, and I've tried to talk to him about the Lord, but he just wouldn't have nothing to do with it. Last Saturday morning, he got a call, and his uncle had died. I'm not going to go into how, but his uncle had died. And you know, he was in so much trouble. He come to me asking me about the Lord. I pray that what I said is a help to him. But you know, we can't lose our confidence in the Lord, because the Lord is always there. As the song is sang a while ago, He's sheltering us in His arms. When we come across people, you know, I'm not a smart man. I don't have all the things to say. But you know, when it comes right down to it and there's something that the Lord wants that person to know, He'll give you the things to say. He'll help you to talk to them. And He'll bless you for doing it. That's what the Lord's put on my heart tonight. Brother Miller, I'm going to turn it over to you.